this chazar is echnish about cheskel shagur, but Rabbi Yehuda mishechti yomim zafah ayin. Hey, Shaykh Mer, why do we need three pesukim to teach us that a tummy person may not eat truma until he has gone to the mikveh and had the har of shemesh? So the first pasuk only says that the kohen has become tar, but doesn't say specifically that har of shemesh is needed. If we only have the second pasuk, we would think that har of shemesh is only enough when he's not tummy with the type of tumma that requires him to bring a carbon. We therefore need a third pasuk, which discusses a tumma that does require him to bring a carbon, and still says that only har of shemesh is needed. If we only have the third pasuk, we would think that har of shemesh alone is sufficient. The first pasuk therefore teaches that mikveh is necessary as well. In fact, according to the Shita, who says that the first pasuk discusses the kohen who is tummy as a zav and has to bring a carbon to become tar, and the pasuk refers to kodshim, not truma. Why do we need two psukim? Second one discusses a woman who had given birth. That tells us, so what do we need that to tell us that a mechusa kapurim may not eat kodshim? The Gemara says, if we would only discuss a woman who had given birth, we would say it's only her who needs to wait until her carbon is brought, because she has a prolonged period of tumah. But a zav who does not have to wait for his carbon to be brought. If we only have the pasuk azav, we would say it's only he who has to wait, because there is never an exception to his tumah. However, a woman who has given birth who does have an exception, meaning her flow of blood during the first 40 or 80 days, does not make her also to her husband. Maybe she doesn't have to wait for her carbon to be brought. Therefore, we need the both psukim. Why do we need the pasuk that says "Bamayim yuva v'tamei ad ha'arev"? It again teaches that we need higher of shemesh become tar for truma. Zayir says this pasuk teaches that a tamei person may not even touch truma until he has gone to the mikveh and waited for sunset. Another way we learn out that a tamei person may not touch truma until the sun has set, that we find that the pasuk refers to eating by using the word touching. Since eating is referred to as touching, we learn that just as eating truma requires sunset, so too touching truma. Mishnah said Psua Daka v'chul. In fact, the Mishnah says that if a woman is married to Psua Daka but had not had bia with him after the injury, she may continue to eat truma. Who's a shita who says that one who awaits a prohibited bia may still eat truma? Rabbi Lazar said it's Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon who argue on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yechanan said our Mishnah may even follow Rabbi Meir, and the reason he allows it over here, although he says elsewhere that such a woman would not be allowed to eat truma, is because in the case of our Mishnah, she had already eaten truma in the past, and she may therefore continue to. Rabbi Lazar would say this wouldn't be a reason to permit her to eat truma, because if that was really a good valid reason, then a Yisraelis who marries a kohen and is then widowed should be able to continue eating truma because she already ate. Rabbi Yechon would say the case is different because she's no longer the acquisition of a kohen when her husband died, and therefore, whereas our Mishnah, she still is the acquisition, the kinyan kaspay of the husband. Ezeu petzua v'zok the Mishnah v'chulu. A bright says a petzua daka is someone whose beitzim have been injured, even if only one of them are injured, and even if they're only punctured, and even if they were only dissolved, and even if only a small part of them is missing. Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon Breka, said he heard from the Chachamim in Yavne that if a person has only one of the beitzim, he's considered to be like a sris chama, sterile because of a sickness, and is therefore fit to marry in the Klai Yisrael. Only a human caused injury, which makes the person unable to have children, is considered to be a petzua daka, who is also lovi lekal. Pekma, does a bright mean to suggest that a hole in the beitzim makes someone unable to have children? We see a story where someone's beitzim became punctured on a thorn, and yet he had children. Rav says, Rav said about that case, it's clear that his wife was mezana with someone else and had children from another man. Rav Yehuda Neimer Shmuel said, someone who's a petzua daka at the hands of heaven is valid to marry into Klal Yisrael. Rav said, that's why the pasuk says petzua as opposed to ha-petzoa, which suggests that the person became wounded after birth by human intervention. Rav says, the pasuk of petzua daka and the pasuk of mamzer are next to each other to teach, just as a mamzer comes about through human intervention, the same as with the petzua daka. Rav said, Petzua refers to wounding of any of the reproductive organs. Dach refers to crushing of any of the reproductive organs. And Karis refers to the severing of any of the reproductive organs. This means that the person gets the status whether any of these injuries happen to the Aver, to the Beitzim, or to the strings attached to the Beitzim. The Rabbanan asked Rava, how do we know that Petzua Dach refers to an injury of the reproductive organs? Maybe it refers to an injury of someone's head? Rava said, since the Torah does not give a number of generations for the Isser to marry into Klal Yisrael, like it does by a Mitri, etc., it must be that the injury is in a place which makes him unable to have children. Maybe he doesn't mention generation because it is only he himself who's usher. And Mar said, we learn Petzua Daka from Kris Shachar. Just like Kris Shachar refers to reproductive organs, same as Petzua Daka. How do we know Kris Shachar refers to that area? Maybe it refers to the lips, which also allow a liquid to flow. Kris Shachar means it's flowing, so maybe it refers to the lips. Mar says it refers to a place where liquid spills from. Liquid is pushed out forcibly through the lips. It does not simply flow out, so it can't be referring to the lips. Maybe it refers to the nose, where liquid does just spill out on its own. Mar says the word Kris Shachar suggests that until the injury, this area ejects a liquid. And after the injury, it spills out. That's only true for the reproductive organs. Another answer is, Abrai says the pasuk is written next to the pasuk of a mamzer. It teaches just like mamzer is created through those organs, the same is true for these injuries. Rabbi Abba thought to say that when the puncture was at a diagonal, so that it began below the top of the aver and ended at the top, the person would be valid. Rasi told him that Rabbi Shmuel Levi said any puncture at the top of the aver makes him puzzle. The Mishnah said, "V'im nishtai me'atara v'chulu." Ravina asked, "When the Mishnah says that there must be a minute amount remaining at the top of the Aver for the person to be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, does it mean that there must be this amount around the entire part of the Aver, or is a majority sufficient?" Rava Toifso said, "A majority is sufficient as long as it's on the upper part." Huna said, "If one's Aver is cut diagonally like a quill, he's still valid, but if it's cut into like a gutter, he's puzzle. The reason is the gutter-like cut allows air in and thereby prevents him from having children." Frisa says the opposite, because a quill-like cut does not allow the zera to exit properly. Rava agreed with the view and logic of Rav Huna. Ravina said to Maremer that Mazutra and Nimra Papa said that in both these cases the person is valid. He was just unsure whether this is for a cut that is above or below the Atar. The Gemara said it must be where the cut was above the Atar, because if it was below the Atar, then even a cut in the Aver itself would be mutter.